Well, they make more money from tourism than they will ever from a rally. Yeah. You know,
you'd have to hope that they've got the sense to see that.
They can go to any town and look at all these cars hooning around. They can't come here and look at all these endangered species and all the beautiful plants and trees and breathe the air and swim in the creeks. You know, like, it doesn't happen in the middle of Sydney or Melbourne or
there. I heard a lovely story of that meeting. Was that last night, the Seventh Generation meeting? There's people who are very concerned about the koalas on the side of the road. There's some good stuff on the internet too, by the way. And at one point they had, because what this woman had gone around, and every, you know, over the last few months, whenever she'd spotted a koala in a tree, she'd made her own signs up, and she put the signs on the tree, the koala habitat. A few days before the rally, the council workers went around and pulled all her signs down, and then she went around and sprayed the tree. But at one point, there was all these people there, there were sort of rally marshals, coppers, and journalists, whatever. This woman's pointing, you know, overseas visitors, pointing to the koalas and the trees, and these guys were just awestruck, absolutely. You know, one guy had flown it here from Britain to attend this rally as the highlight of his life, and there was something that to him was more important than anything else. He's seen a live koala in a tree. Yeah, and so, you know, that's the sort of thing that will bring tourists here, that as long as we can stop killing them, and as long as we can preserve the trees for them to live in. That's the sort of thing that people want to see. You can see bloody racing cars in England.
Can I mention something about an initiative that I'm involved with, which is called Art Camp International? It directly comes from environmental protest to changing a way of getting another income stream from destroying the environment, logging or mining, to having a controlled tourism event at Washpool in October.
Yep. That was that beautiful place where I was able to spend a weekend last year.
Yeah,
amazing.
That's right.
All thanks to the local Bayugle people for welcoming me and others out there. It's a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Yeah, and the idea is that our people and our children get to meet the people and the children out there, and we leave the community out there some good vibes and a bit of cash to do certain things out there, whatever they want to do with the cash. And to give the people here another viewpoint of the area that they live in and meet the people that are here, who live there. And that's another way to do it. It's really hard being a full-time environmentalist to carry on being a full-time environmentalist. And it's nicer to have another initiative which isn't opposing anything. It's not. It's just painting a picture, laying down in the sun, meeting people, eating good food.
Oh, yeah. I was present at that weekend when you discovered your artistic talent, which I believe you've nurtured and grown with over this
year. That's right.
What an amazing thing, amazing experience.
Yeah, it just came out. I couldn't paint anything now. Amazing. That's all part of the magic. And that's what it's about. It's Art Camp International. 5 days of learning how to make a gunya, fish traps, clap sticks, bush tucker, language, storytelling, singing, dancing, playing music, eating kangaroo, and it's a kind of thing that it's a precursor to when the supermarkets, so they close quickly. We've only got 3 days food left, so if we get to learn how to learn to live off the land a little bit now, maybe it won't be so hard when something does happen. So it's the 30th to 18th of October, artcampinternational.com, and get in touch if you want to come. Only 50 places.
Cool.
So I just didn't want to put an advert, but that's an environmentally based.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Do you want to mention the cost of that now? Or you?
It's $500
for the 5 days.
Yeah, for five
that's
days.
That's a bargain.
And the children are free.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
And you know, if you want to come, please get in contact with us. And it's another way of protesting. You know, of being creative.
Do you have a phone number for that, or should we use the?
Yes, we do. It's Lisa on 0439 261 055.
Okay.
And or lisaforworldpeace@gmail.com.
Right.
And that's about the art camp.
Yeah, and that would be just a fabulous thing. And I believe this has been something you've been building up for a few years now.
Yeah, since 2005.
And you're getting overseas visitors to come along. Yep.
And also the locals.
Sure.
Just a place to this is near Timbara.
Yes.
We did a lot of processing up there.
And it's a part of the world. I spoke to a few people out there who've lived there all their lives and who are have seen many of their family die off over the years from the effects of the asbestos,
on the land out by Ugle.
Yeah, I spoke to a woman, in fact, who just had been diagnosed, and for years she's been trying to get a diagnosis of her ill health and being lied to by the doctors who say, no, this isn't happening. And who's telling them to lie? I don't know, but they were lying. And then she eventually lucked into this other doctor and said, no, this is what you've got, and it's a direct result of the asbestos.
Just a bit of a background on the asbestos issue. In 1943, James Hardy, I don't know if they were called James Hardy, and they went to Bayougal and started mining with the local people there asbestos without any powdered form. In 1903, in England, they had found out that somebody, a group of people using asbestos, were all getting these lung diseases. So in 1903, they knew that asbestos was bad for you. So they brought this to Bayougal. They discovered that asbestos, and then got the people to work there. And from 1943 to 1978, I think, when it closed down, it started the process of genociding the Wirrlipal Western Nation people there. And the people who worked in the mine around the area, no masks or anything like that. At one stage, all the trees were white from this. The pile of asbestos dust was 90 feet high, size of 3 football fields in the middle of their town. So all the trees were white, all the sand pits in the playground were made of asbestos, all the footpaths. And the women washing the men's clothes got asbestosis. So at one stage, one lady had 12 boys there, 11 died of asbestosis. It's genocided the Wirrlipal Western Nation people there. Pretty really sad place to go to see the effects of what's happening. And like Jack just said, the lady there has just got been confirmed with it. There's other things that we hear about the asbestos. It's like little scaffold poles. You get it in your body, it never breaks down, it just gets smaller, and as you breathe it into your lungs, it's like all these little scaffold poles going into your lungs. As you breathe, then the gravity, it pushes them down through your lung tissue and slices all your inside of your lung tissue. And a lot of people with asbestosis, they spend their lives in a dark room with their arms up, covered in Vaseline, with all these little scaffold tubes coming out through their skin, like little needles. And those scaffold tubes get so small, apparently, that they go into the men's sperm, out when they're making love, and they infect the cervix of the lady in the next generation. One young girl's just got leukemia attributed to asbestos, 20 years old, you know, so it's not a finished thing. It's a very important issue, and this is in our backyard. So
That's too horrifying.
It is, and then the James Hardy people have all been fined these massive amounts. I don't know if you've heard about the James. That's all related to Bayougal. You ever look at Asbestosis Australia, and it have a little bit here, a little bit there, then a whole section on Bayougal. Little small town in the middle of nowhere. No, not nowhere, but in the middle of a remotely placed town.
But did they ever get any compensation? The last I heard that.
I think a couple of people got a minuscule amount, but most of them didn't. James Hardy just hanging off for people to die.
And people actually were put in a position where they, if you accepted this small amount of money, then you had to sign a disclaimer saying you wouldn't claim any further.
That's right.
So most people said no.
It was 15 grand or something.
To blunder.